going to ask you to take your Bibles out and follow along as usual. I'm also going to ask you to keep your songbooks handy as we study this lesson together and emphasize the things that we study and the things that we talk about with the songs that we sing. Now, we sing songs to teach and to admonish one another. And we sing songs to praise God. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, Paul says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Speaking to one another. In Colossians 3, 16 and 17, Paul adds a little to this when he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now we understand, as even as we look into the world, that words put to music have a strong effect on people. They move people. They move them emotionally. They move them sometimes intellectually. There's just something about songs and singing and melodies that affect us. God knows that. I mean, God had us teach with preaching and teach with teaching, but He also commanded that we teach one another in singing. And so God understands the power of music, and He commanded that we sing to one another these psalms and these hymns and spiritual songs. But sometimes there's a danger of us getting caught up in the singing. Maybe we get caught up in the pretty melody, and we don't pay enough attention to the words. And it is crucial, it is essential that as we sing these songs that we concentrate upon the words that we are singing. That we listen to others who are singing around us. So that we may all teach and admonish one another as the passage says. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 15, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Now back in October, we did a lesson similar to this. And I pointed out then that sometimes we sing songs about comfort. And how God comforts us, and how we comfort one another, and how the gospel comforts us. Sometimes we sing songs about Christ's likeness, about being like Christ and striving to be, to walk just as He walked, as John taught in 1 John 2. And sometimes we sing songs about the cross, songs about how Christ died on the cross and shed His blood for us. This evening, I'd like to suggest to you the idea that sometimes we sing songs about the Redeemer. Let's turn, if you would, to 362. 362 is a song that speaks about, perhaps indirectly, the Redeemer, when it gets across the message that I have been redeemed. 362, I have been redeemed. Sweet is the song I'm singing today. I'm redeemed. Trouble and sorrow have vanished away. I have been redeemed. I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine, Christ is mine. All to Him I now resign. I have been redeemed. Great is my joy as onward I go. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. All the way homeward my praises shall flow. I have been redeemed, I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine, Christ is mine. All to Him I now resign. I have been redeemed. Precious indeed is my Savior to me. I'm redeemed. Great is my joy. And what a great joy it is to know that we have been redeemed from our sins. Now that song references Luke chapter 1, verses 68 and 69. Luke chapter 1, verses 68 and 69. This is actually John the Baptist's father giving a prophecy after John the Baptist has been born and he's been named. And then in verse 68 it says, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." Now, how can we sing this song or even talk about redemption without thinking about that beautiful passage that Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, when he said, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." You know, sometimes we tend to think that maybe we are redeemed by riches and gold and so forth, the way their attitudes are toward money at times. But we must always remember that riches do not profit in the day of wrath. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 4. In 1 Timothy 6, 17 and 18, Paul had told Timothy to encourage the rich that they not trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. He talks about how they ought to be ready to give and willing to share and full of good works, so that they may lay hold on a good foundation for the time to come. But this word redeemed in the Greek is lutrao, and the word literally means bought back. Now we could say purchase, but literally it means bought back. In that spiritual sense, God through Christ and the blood of Christ has purchased us, has actually bought us back. Remember what Paul said in Acts 20 and verse 28 when he's talking there to the elders at Ephesus, and he's at Miletus, but he mentions to them the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. Notice that word purchase there. Now that's a different Greek word, but that's the idea behind redeemed. That he purchased us, that he bought us back, and just as Peter said, the price that was paid was not silver, it was not gold, but it was actually his own blood. It was the blood of Jesus Christ. Another passage that beautifully brings across this concept of redemption. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7, where Paul says, "In him we have redemption," and notice again it says, "through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." In verse 14, Paul writes and says, "Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchase," see that? Redemption, there's redemption, and then "of the purchase possession to the praise of his glory." Paul said something very similar over in the book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 and 14. He says, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood." And then it says again, "the forgiveness of sins." And so when I sing that song, "I have been redeemed," what I mean is all of my sins have been washed away. And when we look back at our sinful life, when we look back at the atrocities that we have committed, the shameful things that we have done, the dirty deeds that we have perpetrated, sometimes in secret, sometimes wide open, who could not rejoice at the fact that God has redeemed us? And as we're going to sing later, think about the great power that is in the blood, that it can wash away every sin that we have. Some people feel that they've been too sinful to be forgiven by God, but God will forgive the most sinful. In Acts 2, he forgave some who even murdered his own son, the Son of God. He forgave them after they repented and obeyed the gospel. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, the writer there writes these words. And they sang a new song, the 24 elders, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God," here it is again, "by your blood." That's the power of the blood. And that's how God has redeemed us to himself, through the mighty power of the blood. And that truly makes Jesus a great redeemer. 564 is a song that, frankly speaking, I don't lead that well, but it's a beautiful song. And the title of the song is "The Great Redeemer," 564. And it starts out by saying, "How I love the Great Redeemer." And Jesus is the Great Redeemer, and he ought to be everything to me, because he paid the ultimate price that my sins may be washed, and that my soul may be white as snow. Number 564, "The Great Redeemer." "How I love the Great Redeemer, who is doing so much for me. With what joy I tell the story of the love that made men free. Till my earthly life is ended, I'll sing songs above, then beside the crystal sea, praising Jesus and his love. He is everything to me, to me. He is everything to me, and everything shall always be. I will never cease to raise a song of gladness in his praise. Here and in the world above, my soul shall sing of saving love. Light and light and joy is he, the precious friend who died for me. He has purchased my redemption, rolled my burden of sin away, and is walking on beside me, growing dearer day by day. That is why I sing his praises. Joy is mine, that is why forevermore I shall sing of love divine. He is everything to me, to me. He is everything to me, and everything shall always be. I will never cease to raise a song of gladness in his praise. Here and in the world above, my soul shall sing a saving love. Life and light and joy is he, the precious friend of thine for me. Glory be to him forever, and his praises to Christ the Lamb. He has filled my life with sunshine. He has made me what I am. Oh, that everyone would know him. Oh, that all would adore. Oh, that all would trust the love and be his forevermore. He is everything to me, to me. He is everything to me, and everything shall always be. I will never cease to raise a song of gladness in his praise. Here and in the world above, my soul shall sing of saving love. Life and light and joy is he, the precious friend who died for me. And so sometimes we sing songs about the Redeemer and how great he is. But sometimes we also sing songs not only about the Redeemer, but we sing songs about the resurrection. Song number 160 is a song that is entitled One Day. And I believe the song looks forward to that day when we will be resurrected. One day, stanza number 4, the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glory will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one's bringing. Glorious Savior, this Jesus is mine. Number 160, One Day. One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on the tree. Suffering, anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose, over death he had conquered. Now is ascended, my Lord, evermore. One day with trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glory will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one's bringing. Glorious Savior, this Jesus is mine. Living he loved me, dying he saved me. Buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. You'll notice in stanza 3, this song also refers to the fact of the resurrection of Jesus. As a matter of fact, it is because of the resurrection of Jesus that one day we ourselves can look forward to the resurrection. And by the way, resurrection means literally dead no more. You're resurrected. And so when we talk about resurrection, we have the hope of the resurrection. We have the hope of eternal life. That 6-foot hole in the ground, that cold, dark, gloomy hole, that's not the end of the story for us. We have something to look beyond that. We have eternal life. One day, we will be resurrected. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, Paul says, but now Christ is risen from the dead. He is risen from the dead and has become the first fruit. See that? He has become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. And that term fallen asleep means those who have died. In verse 23, Paul writes and says, but each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. And so we will be resurrected. In the book of Acts chapter 26 and verse 23, as the apostle Paul is actually standing before Agrippa to tell Agrippa all about what's been going on with him, he says in verse 23, Paul does, that Christ would suffer that he would be the first to rise from the dead and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. Now I know you can go back to the Old Testament and you can read about people rising from the dead. There were miracles there. You can go to the New Testament and you can read about Lazarus and others who were brought back from the dead before Jesus ever rose from the dead. So what does this mean, the first to rise from the dead? Well, that's the key to the whole thing. Jesus was the first to rise from the dead to never die again. These men in the Old Testament that were resurrected, they died again. Lazarus and others in the New Testament and the Gospels that were brought back from the dead, they died again, but Jesus never died again. He was the first one to rise from the dead and never die again. And in doing so, he conquered death forever. Over in the book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. The Apostle Paul wrote there and said, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead." That's the same idea. "That in all things he may have the preeminence." Over in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. Peter writes and says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And how can we talk about the resurrection without going over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 once again and read those beautiful words that Paul spoke about the day we will be resurrected? He says there, 1 Corinthians 15 verse 50, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." That's good news, by the way. This flesh and blood is subject to suffering. It's subject to pain. It's subject to disease. It's subject to all sorts of things. Flesh and blood will not inherit kingdom of God, "but I tell you a mystery, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of the eye, at the last trumpet." Now that's those who will still be alive when the Lord returns. "For the trumpet will sound, and then the dead will rise incorruptible." We're not going to rise again in a corruptible body of clay that's rotting away, that's subject to all these horrors and all these pain and all these diseases. We're going to be raised in incorruption. We'll be changed. Those still living will be changed. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And he gives us that victory over death and over the sting of death because Jesus died on the cross and because Jesus was resurrected on the third day. There's a song that's fairly new to me. It's number 572 in our song book. And the title, I love the title. It says, "Hallelujah, we shall rise. Hallelujah, we shall rise." Now, the next time you are covered in tears and you're mourning the loss of a loved one who has passed from this life, and that loved one was a Christian, you remember this: "Hallelujah, we shall rise." That's the great promise that we have. The hope of the resurrection and the hope of eternal life. And that morning, that day when the trump of God does sound, it is going to be a wondrous time when we shall arise immortal, Paul says, incorruptible. And we'll go home to be with the Lord forever and ever. Number 572. "In the resurrection morning, when the trump of God shall sound, we shall rise, we shall rise. Then the saints will come rejoicing, and no tears will e'er be found. We shall rise, we shall rise. Hallelujah. Amen, we shall rise. In the resurrection morning, when death's prison bars are broken, we shall rise, we shall rise. In the resurrection morning, blessed thought it is to me, we shall rise, we shall rise. I shall see my blessed Savior, who so freely died for me. We shall rise, we shall rise.
We
Hallelujah. Amen. We shall rise in the resurrection morning when death's prison bars are broken. We shall rise. We shall rise. In the resurrection morning, we shall meet him in the air. We shall rise, we shall rise, and be carried up to glory, to our home so bright and fair. We shall rise, we shall rise.
We shall rise.
Hallelujah.
We shall rise.
Amen. We shall rise in the resurrection morning when death's prison bars are broken. We shall rise, we shall rise. And so we sing songs about the Redeemer. We sing songs about the resurrection. And often we sing songs about the reward. That's what we're doing it all for. That's why we're being faithful unto death. That's why we're striving to make the sacrifices and to overcome sin. That's why we're trying to live lives full of good works. The reward. And by the way, that's not the only motive. That motive is a viable motive in the Word of God. Never forget that. But I believe if there's a highest motive, the highest motive ought to be because we love God and we love the Savior. And that drives us to work hard and to get that reward, because the reward is that we'll get to be with God and with the Savior forever and ever. And if I were going to describe heaven, I guess the best thing we could do to describe heaven is the word of that song, beautiful. It's just going to be beautiful. In a moment, we're going to look at some passages that God in those passages gives us some words of beauty to try to help us at least get an idea that heaven is beautiful. But there's no way. Sometimes I'm often asked, what do you think heaven's going to be like? It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be more than my tiny puny mind could ever come up with or imagine. It's going to be grand and glorious and filled with splendor. The song Beautiful, number 261, describes heaven perfectly. Number 261, beautiful. Beautiful robes so white, beautiful land of light, beautiful home so bright, where there shall come no night. Beautiful crown I'll wear, shining and bright, o'er there, yonder in mansions fair, gather us there. Beautiful robes, beautiful land, beautiful home. Beautiful crown shining so fair, beautiful mansion bright, gather us there. Beautiful thought to me, we shall forever be thine in eternity, when from this world we're free. Free from its toil and care, heavenly joys to share. Let me cross over there. This is my prayer. Beautiful roads, beautiful land, beautiful home, beautiful band, beautiful crown, shining so fair. Beautiful mansion bright, gather us there. Beautiful things on high, over in yonder sky. Thus I shall leave this shore, counting my treasures o'er, where we shall never die. Carry me by and by, never to sorrow more. Heavenly store. Beautiful roads, beautiful land, beautiful home, beautiful band, beautiful crown shining so fair, beautiful. beautiful mansion bright. Gather us there. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58 is the passage where the Apostle Paul says, "Be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Now that last phrase, "knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord," that speaks to the reward. Remain steadfast, immovable, always abounding, knowing that your labor is not in vain. What's that mean? That means we're going to be rewarded for our faithfulness to the Lord. In Matthew 25, 46, beginning verse 31, Jesus begins to tell the story about how the Son of Man will judge the nations. And he talks about those who clothe the naked, feed the hungry, who visit the sick, and those in prison. These are the ones, verse 46, who will have eternal life. And Titus 1, verses 1 and 2 mentions God who cannot lie, who has promised us eternal life. In Hebrews 11, verses 13 to 16, if you go back and read that passage sometimes, it talks about those in the Old Testament seeking a homeland, and it goes into to foreshadow or to look forward to that homeland, that true home that we're seeking, that we're just pilgrims on this earth. Our home is in heaven, as Paul said in the book of Philippians. Our citizenship is in heaven. That is where we will receive our reward. I've said before, one of my favorite descriptions of heaven is actually not found in Revelation 21. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Now we read verses 3 a moment ago where he talks about has begotten us to a living hope, to an inheritance, verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible, see that? Incorruptible and undefiled. There's no sickness, no death, nothing that is of a corrupting nature to us here in this life and in this body. It's undefiled. We fight every day. We struggle against temptation. We struggle against sin. But that's not going to be in heaven. That struggle will be over. The victory will have been gained. And then it says, undefiled, it does not fade away. And then it says, reserved in heaven for you. Reserved in heaven for you. Now the last song that we're going to sing is really based upon this passage in Revelation chapter 21, where God kind of gives us some symbols to give us an idea of how beautiful heaven's going to be. The reward in verse 4, Revelation 21, God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. You ever cried tears? Ever felt deep mourning and sadness? Oh, that'll be gone in heaven. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Look at verse 16. The city is laid out as a square, its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Verse 25, its gates shall not be shut all by the day. There shall be no night there. And in between there, it mentions all the beautiful, precious stones. Just God giving us beautiful things to try to get across to our minds that heaven is going to be a wonderful, glorious, beautiful place. But that verse there in verse 25 says there will be no night there. I remember when I was growing up in Savannah, Tennessee, I started leading singing very young. And one of the songs that I sang all the time was this song, number 220. And Kenny Todd leads this song occasionally, and I always appreciate it when he does because I love this song. It's talking about the reward. It's talking about heaven. And there'll be no night in heaven. It'll all be light, splendor, and glorious. Number 220, no night there. In the land of fadeless day lies the city four square. It shall never pass away, and there is no night there. God shall wipe away all tears. There's no death, no pain, no fears. And they come no time by years, for there is no night there. All the gates of pearl are made in the city four square. All the streets with gold are laid, and there is no night there. shall wipe away all tears. There's no death, no pain, nor fears. And they come no time but years, for there is no night there. There they need no sunshine bright in that city four square, for the Lamb is all the light, and there is no night there. God shall wipe away all tears. There's no death, no pain, no fears, and they come no time by years, for there is
so whenever we open our song books and sing praises to the Lord, let's enjoy the songs, let's enjoy the melody, but let's not forget the words, let's not forget the meanings. It was God who commanded us to teach one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and to admonish one another, and to praise the Lord. Let's make sure our hearts are in it. That's what God means by making melody in your heart. Let's make sure our hearts are in it, and that we're singing with the Spirit and singing with the understanding also as we sing songs about the Redeemer and as we sing songs about the resurrection and as we sing songs about our reward. Let's pray.